It says, there was a scarcity of food throughout that land, and he began to be in need. What was happening with Yehuda? What was happening with Yaakov and all that family? They got to a spot, you know, money's no good without no food. We got to have food. You can't eat the money. We need food. There isn't a spot. The father had that provision for the sons all the way. And he knew they was going to get to that spot because he loves them so much. And that's what he's going to do with us because he loves us so much. He got the provision. But we got to make the decision. They could have made a bad decision and chose to, you know, Pastor talked about that. You know, Joseph, he could have decided to just do whatever he wanted and not got promoted to anything. And then Yehuda, he could have decided, well, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going there. And he could have done certain things his way. Well, he don't do something. Joseph don't do something. They're dead. Guess who else is dead? All the rest of the families. That's why he says, your neighbor. That's your neighbor. The character change. The character change. Our character change. Somebody's following us and watching us. Our character change is very important. And right here it says, he says, and when he had spent all, there arose a severe scarcity of food throughout that land. And he began to be in need. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him to his fields to feed. And he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to fill his stomach. And when he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods which the pigs were eating, and no one gave to him, but having come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger? Having risen, I shall go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He came to his senses. Father makes a provision and is going to get to that spot. And people's got to decide. They got to decide. They'll get to that spot. They're at a dead end. But if they push it out the way and just keep trying to do it their way, they'll end up dead. But here he says he came to his senses. He says, he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I am perishing with hunger. Having risen, I shall go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He humbled himself. Make me like one of your hired servants. And having risen, he went to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Who fell on whose neck and kissed him? It's all right there, right before you. And while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and slaughter it, and let us eat and rejoice, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and he began to rejoice. And I was talking to my wife about, you know, we take the garment of the flesh, and we take it off, and we get born again through Yeshua, and we get cleaned up, and we get a new garment on. It's not here yet, but by faith we put it on, and put on the word. And I told her, I said, you know, I sit at the dinner table sometimes, and when you're eating spaghetti, it's very hard to keep from getting spaghetti on your shirt. And I said, can you imagine how tedious of a job it is for us to stay in the commandments throughout the day and you're surrounded with a world of evil and darkness to keep from getting that little splatter on your white? It's like that. You're going throughout your day, you the Spirit's talking with you, and you go to do something, you know it's wrong, he's etching you, and you do it wrong, and the spaghetti gets on you. The stuff hits you, and you got to repent. He says, keep your garments white. That's what he means. Keep it from spotless, from the sin. Spotless and stained from the world. And you know, if you start looking on the news and start doing some research about things that's going on out in the world, and compare it to what we're learning today, it's so... You know, there was a time years ago when I first came to church and learned some things. It seemed like the world was kind of in and out. But now, knowing what I know, it's all crooked. It's all lies. It's all false. It's all upside down. It's all anti-God. All of it. Not a little bit of it, not half of it, not three quarters of it, all of it. And when he said be unstained and untainted from the world, he means it, all of it. Abraham had to come out. This is where this began. Abraham had to come out, and he had to be perfect, and he had to listen and do what he said. And we talked about Joseph. Joseph, had he not kept the flesh, the old man dead, his character would have never changed. And the same for Yehuda, he would have never changed. For Midrash, I want to talk about this. Sister Sabrina isn't with us here tonight. But for Midrash, Sister Sabrina had a dream. I'm not going to talk about the dream. I'm just going to share this because it's so important that we come together as a body. I know a lot of people have got certain things going on that's important. But Midrash is all important. And she shared a dream. And she shared how she'd been praying and asking the Father to share with her or help her understand the dream. And she was sharing with us a little bit about the number 11. Well, I listen to things. I take people serious. I take my brothers and my sisters serious. You know that? When we pray for each other, take each other serious. And that 11 kind of stuck out to me. And I noticed through the week, I started praying by asking, Vayigash, what Torah portion is this? Torah portion 11. And let me see if I could pull this up. I'll put this on here. Can you see that? You might be able to see it a little bit. I'm not sure. But that's the Gregorian calendar months in the middle. January, February, March, April, May, all the way around. And then you got the Hebraic calendar month, the Nisan, all the way around. Now, if you count from the top, Nisan, that's one, right? The next one, two, three, four, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You see that Shavat? That's between January and February. That's number 11. Adar is 12, and the Nisan is 1. So what month we're coming up in or on is going to be 11. Okay? January, before Pope Gregory changed it to the 1st, was originally the 11th month, by the way. You can do your research on that. There was 11 brothers in the tribes of Israel. Who was born 11th of all the brothers? Yosef was. Then Benjamin. Okay? Yosef is 11th brother of Benjamin. And so I'm just sharing things with you that, you know, the Father's got all this put together, and it's incredible. And like Pastor said, when we look at everything we're learning, and just in the Hebrew, it's like not even a scratch on the surface. But it's incredible. And you want to know it, but after you start learning for it, it gets a little overwhelming because I'm like, wow. You get to one word, you start digging in there, you get to a chapter and a verse, and you're digging in, and you're there for almost hours, and you're like, man, I didn't get to read this yet. And it's like there's so much, you can get stuck for a little while. There's just so much to learn. It's like, no wonder why he says forever, because it is forever. It goes on and on and on and on. And it's crazy to think, oh, we didn't arrive somewhere. I'm saved. I don't have to learn anything anymore. Yeah, right. It's crazy. It's very deceiving. Now go to Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. It says, kiss the chosen, or the King James says, kiss the Son, lest he be enraged and you perish in the way. For soon his wrath is to be kindled. Bless all those taking refuge in him. So when you look up that word, Son, H1248, and chosen, we think about Yeshua, he's the King, isn't that correct? If Yeshua is the King, and he's got the rules, And when he returns, and it's going to be under his rules, don't you think we should be learning to abide by his rules? We kiss the king's rules. And what he says goes. In references in the Brit Hadishah, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 20, it says, all the brothers greet you, greet one another with a set-apart kiss. That kiss was important to think about when they kissed the king or his rules. They're abiding underneath his rules. That's what was taught this week. You know, like I said, Friday evening Shabbat and going into Shabbat on Saturday, I've taken all this and I listened to these messages, that the words that was given to us through our leader. And that's another thing, our leader. I want to emphasize on something that Brother Scott brought up that I went and looked at. We'll go back to some of those Brit Hadishah in just a minute. It says, let me see where I put it at. It was in Bereshit, Genesis 44, verse 1. When he brought that to my attention, you know, it's important. Not just pastor, but there's brothers and sisters. One's having dreams, telling us about dreams. Another one looking up something. Hey, you might get something that I don't have. That's why we got to get together and talk with one another and listen. But I paid attention to this. This made sense to me. Because it clearly says in the Brit Hadishah that Yeshua, our master, he gave some to be pastors, teachers, for perfecting. He told Abraham to walk perfect before me, and Yeshua is teaching us how to walk perfect before him. And he gives us leaders and teachers that are underneath him, underneath his umbrella. He's our umbrella. And he's got an order that we're to follow. So in Genesis 44:1, it says, and he commanded the one over his house. That stuck out to me like a sore thumb. Okay, he's over a house. Who's over the house? And he commanded the one over his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as they're able to bear, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. So in here, you can't find a Torah portion, you can't find a scripture nowhere where it says, command you to go put this food in the sacks. It's not written anywhere. But it was commanded by the words of Yehovah through this person, Yosef, to tell the one over the house to go do that. So we talked about Wednesdays and Fridays. No, it's not commanded. You're not going to find a scripture nowhere in there where it's commanded. But it's underneath the umbrella of Yeshua by the Spirit of Yehovah telling us through our leader here, he's in charge. This is where we need to go and this is what we need to do. You know, I was sitting in my truck this morning just thinking back. I said, Father, you're so good to me. I can't tell you how many times we came to those little forks in the road after we was given the dream. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. I'll remove wagging tongues, unsupported personalities. I'll supply you with unlimited labors for harvest spheres of your souls. I remember being in Homer over there. We needed to come back here, and I knew that. And everybody had their chitter-chatter. Well, I'm not coming back. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And everybody's got their say-so. Well, I'm going with this one. I'm going with that one. You got to sit down and say, Father, I don't know who's telling the truth, but I need to know. And each individual for themselves had to sit down and say, here we go. This is what you said. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with my lead. I'm going to stick what you said. And I'm not going to listen to everybody else. And we made it through. And here it comes again. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Listen to the lead. Hey, this is going to come. That's going to come. The storms and all that's going to come. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. Sit in your vehicle again and pray, Father, I just want to hear your voice. I want to know what to do. What did Yeshua do? He constantly got by himself and he talked to the Father. And he asked him what to do. Father, I don't know where to go, what to do, or how to do this. I say them things. And the Father tells you what to do. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what he or she's saying. You just stick to the vision. What did Yosef do? He stuck to the plan all the way through. He had to change that character. And that was just so incredible, you know, to when you're reading about Yaakov and all the puzzle pieces of all the dream, all the way back, all comes together. It was all right there. The Father had it all. Just you know, Joseph, he had to go through all that stuff, but the whole time the Father's like, hey, just hold on. Hold on. A couple more months, a couple more years, hold on. Hold on. It's all going to come together for you. It's all going to come together for you. And then all the brothers. Is this real? This is real. And then one day we're going to see Yeshua. Amen. This is real. This is real. I haven't never seen him with my eyes. I've never touched him. But I read and I believe what he said. And it was counted to Abraham as righteousness because he believed what he said. He believed in Jehovah and what he said. And it was counted to him as righteousness. He did what he said. And if you don't do what he says, you're going to end up dead. If any one of these two, Yehuda or Joseph, would have not let their character change, they would end up dead. And it talks about here all the families. We're going to talk about that in a little while. I think it's chapter 46. All the families. You read each individual family, they were all saved because those two made the right decision to get their characters right. We got a lot of families that are following us. And if we get squirrely and wishy-washy, who are they going to be able to rely on? It's up to us. We got to get our character right. I was telling my wife this morning, I was thinking about in my life, in my everyday walk. You know, I think about it as, you know, in movies, on a movie set, they have a scene that they're working on. It could be the day of a movie set. And they sit there and they give you all the script. Okay, this is how the script's going to go. And they get in there and they start doing the script. And they're supposed to know it well. And they'll say it wrong and say, cut, 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 cut. And start over again. And I think about my life like that some days when I'm learning this, trying to get my character right. I could hear the spirit, no, no, no. And you say it. Or you do it, cut, 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 cut. And I find myself like that. I'm telling you, I had some kids on the boat, and I did my best to try and hold it up. But after I told them four times, don't touch the lines together again. Cut, 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 cut. Retie, retie, retie. Three times. On the fourth time, I told y'all not to do that. The Spirit saying, cut, cut. I went over. I messed up. So I was like, it's all right, it's all right, it's good. I got it, I got it, I got it. And you got it. But you feel it in here. It's not his character. Cut, cut, try again. And I'm going to go through it over. And the Father tells me, he said, you're going to go over and over and over till you get it right this time. Till you get it right this time. And that's what we're doing. We're learning to get our character right. Is it easy? It's not easy. On trial, it's called suffering. Now, Yehuda, he suffered and had loss because he wanted to follow after his flesh and just do whatever he wanted. He didn't want to follow the rules. Joseph, he got put in a pit because of not following some rules. But in the long run, he learned to follow the rules. And as he followed the rules, just like Yeshua followed the rules, that's what happened. And I don't have to go through Ephesians chapter 4, but you can go look through 11 through 25 yourself, because Yeshua gave us, for perfecting of the saints, an order, an umbrella. You know what? I'm going to read it because it's important to be read. I'm going to read it anyway in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 25. It's good to go over these over and over. We go over Isaiah 11 and Devarim, we go over those every Shabbat. And I still can't say them by heart, but I'm getting closer and closer, especially when you think about, you know, he didn't decide, you know, by the sight of his eyes, nor hearing of his ears, but with righteousness and right ruling. You go over it and over and over it, some things start sticking. But to say it by heart, I have to really get there and discipline myself every day to learn it by heart. And again, the Torah, I've talked about this with my family, the Torah is no good just being held in our hands. The rules are no good just being held in your hands. It can't save you. But doing them, applying them, putting into action, that's why I put them together, is from the Torah and the Brit HaDeShah. The Brit HaDeShah is showing us to do what it's telling us in the Torah. So he says, and he gave himself some as emissaries, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the set apart ones, to the work of service, to a building up of the body of Messiah, until we all come to the unity of belief and the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the completeness of Messiah, so that we should no longer be children tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men in cleverness, until the craftiness of leading astray, but maintaining the truth in love. Love is being obedient. We grow up in all respects into him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the entire body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love. So this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the nations walk, in the futility. Now, see that word futility? I got into Ecclesiastes this week, and I went through the whole book 3 times. And if you go through that book, you'll read in there, Solomon, he tells you over and over, futility, futility, all is futility. A chasing after the wind is all futile. Following after flesh is a dead end. It's all futile. Futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who having become callous have given themselves up to indecency, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him, as truth is in Yeshua, that you put off with regard to your former behavior. The old man. Joseph had to put off the old man. And Yehuda had to learn too. Being corrupted according to desires of the deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the renewed man which was created according to Elohim, in righteousness and set apartness of truth. Therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. And in the Torah, we'll all be together, members of one another, if we do what it says. It's the only truth that's immovable, and it works, and it all has shalom, peace in it, true peace. And Yosef, he became second in command, he mastered it, and Yeshua mastered it. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As for the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled in your mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Jehovah has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worship, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time? For the secret of lawlessness is already at work, only until he who now restrains comes out of the mist. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the Master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So now, if the lawless one is going to be consumed just by his breath of his mouth when he speaks, if we're still in this corrupt Babylon, acting and talking and doing what they do, and still kind of holding on to church a little bit and doing a little bit what Yeshua said, You got to think about that. We kiss the words of our king. We obey his instruction and his rule. The false one is not going to be doing that. And if it's at the breath of his mouth that comes and destroys him, what do you think is going to happen to those who are still practicing lawlessness? You think they're just going to be okay? They're going to be all right? It's important for us to feed on the word of Yehovah and get rid of those things. It says, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness, and those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in unrighteousness. But we are to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brothers, beloved by the Master, because Elohim from the beginning chose you to be saved and set apart in us of spirit and belief in truth, unto which he called you by our good news for the obtaining of the esteem of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our letter. And our Master Yeshua Messiah himself, and our Elohim and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good expectation through favor, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So what words, we've looked at this before, what words did our Master use when he was on trial? And when you go to Matthew chapter 4, I read this out to some people the other day. You see, when you come and you're learning and you're listening and you keep applying, you know, I like going to my e-sword here now. I wasn't doing it as much. And then I started seeing how Pastor and Brother Scott was looking it up to find references to go to as well. And so I started teaching myself how to do this, just like you do anything else. And so now I'm like, oh, that's how they find in those. That's how they find in those references. And so now I'm like, oh, I'm on it now. It just takes a little time. And you got to go try. You can't just keep depending on somebody else, because you're going to be in a spot in your arena, wherever you are with people, and they're going to ask you a question. You got to be able to do it. So I was asked a question the other day, and so I was able to bring it up. I said, let me show you this. So Matthew 4 says, and Yeshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tried by the devil. And after having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the trier came and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, he said, it has been written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Yehovah. So I said, where did he get these words from? It's in Devarim chapter 8, verse 3. You read the next one. Then the devil took him up into the set apart city, set him on the edge of a set apart place, and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, throw yourself down, for this has it has been written, he shall command his angels. And I'm not going to go any further, but where's it written? Left of Matthew, Psalms 91:11. That's where you find what he was saying. What was his words? What was he speaking to defend himself when he was on trial? He's defending himself with the words of his Father in the Devarim, in Isaiah, in Psalms. That's how he's defending himself. If we throw it away and the tempter comes, how are we supposed to defend ourselves? We have nothing to defend ourselves. And another thing I wanted to emphasize on was the two sticks. The two sticks. We talked about the whole Bible being one. We have the Torah, we have the instructions. And on the other side, you have Yeshua and all his followers. They give you a visual of what it was like to live it out. You put the two together, they show you how to live it out. Live what out? The Father's words from the beginning. It says in Ezekiel 37, 15 through 28. Ezekiel, what did I say, 17? I just got to make sure that was right. 37, 15. And the word of Yehovah came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Yehuda, learn about Yehuda, Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then bring them together for yourself into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, 'Won't you show us what you mean by these?' say to them, 'Thus says the Master Yehovah, see, I am taking the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I shall give them unto him with the stick of Yehuda, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write shall be in your hand for before your, their eyes. And speak to them, thus says the Master Yehovah, see, I am taking the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and shall gather them from all around, and I shall bring them into their land. And I shall make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one sovereign shall be sovereign over them all." One sovereign shall be over them all. Hear, Yisrael, Yehovah, Elohim, he is one Elohim. And we're going to have one sovereign. And we're going to have one tribe of Yisrael, just the whole body of Israel all together under one authority and one rule. Not going to be scattered. Ain't going to be every man's rules. And they shall no longer defile themselves with their idols, nor with their disgusting matters, nor with any of their transgressions. And I shall save them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I shall cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I be their Elohim. While Dawid, my servant, is sovereign over them, and they shall all have one shepherd and walk in my right rulings and guard my laws and shall do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell in it, they and their children's children forever, and my servant Dawid be their prince forever. And I shall make a covenant of peace with them. An everlasting covenant is with them. And I shall place them and increase them, and shall place my set-apart place in their midst forever. And my dwelling place shall be over them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and the nations that shall know that I, Yehovah, am setting Israel apart when my set-apart place is in their midst forever. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah again to that one. Hallelujah. John 17:13-23. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world. And who's the speaker here? Yeshua. So that they have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why? We got to go through some sufferings. We got to learn character. We got to get away from doing those things and do what his word says, and we'll see the character change. And he gives us the perfect examples. He gives us Yosef. He gives us Yehuda. Then he gives us Yeshua. And he gives us the ones who follows him a perfect example to follow. And he says, I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the wicked one. They are not of the world as I'm not of the world. Set them apart in your truth. Your word is what? Truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for them I set myself apart so that they too might be set apart in truth. He had to be the prime example for us to follow So we could do the same thing. And so they too might be set apart in truth. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those believing in me through their word, so that they all might be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they too might be one in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. And the esteem which you gave me, I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, and so that they might be perfect into one, so that the world knows that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. All one family, one body, under one rule, under one Elohim. It's all there throughout the whole Bible. One, 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 one. One. Jeremiah chapter 50. I know this is a lot, but listen. You absorb this and work on this all week long. You keep loving the Father doing this, I promise you, you kiss him, he's going to kiss you back. He's going to say, that's what I want. You come to me. I've had myself on my knees this week, say, Father, I just want to stop right now. And I just want to love on you. I just want to stop everything I'm doing right now and just kiss and love on you and thank you for your words. And tell you what, when you start reading, he'll kiss you right back. He'll open up your eyes and your understanding, and he'll keep you straight during the day with your character when situations come. But you leave that food sit on the table for a while. You know, I was thinking about in Starbucks. You go in Starbucks, they have the little plastic food that kind of looks real in the little, you know, behind a little glass. They got places that you can go, and the stuff looks real, but it's not real. But can you imagine, there's certain foods we eat today that man's made that's really not real. It's not good for you. It make it taste good, but it's not nourishment for your body. But you get that thing, and you can make it taste really good, and you eat it all up. It's not going to give you any nourishment for your body. You know what I'm saying? It's false. It's not real. If you get a mixed, twisted word that's not real, you're not getting any nourishment off of it. It's not going to help you at all. But when you get the real nourishment of the real word, nourishment for your body, it changes your mind, it changes your character, your thoughts. Everything becomes real, and there's peace there, true peace. You don't have to live off of emotions. You live off of the true peace. Jeremiah 50 and 51. Now this is where we are, but we're not quite to that spot yet. But this is important to read. Jeremiah 50 and 51. I looked over some things this week. I like going to those little different groups of Torah keepers, Torah portion. I mean, different things I forget the names of them all, but I like to hear from different ones that are reading on the Torah and doing Shabbat. And I get a take on everybody, and there was a little thing that popped up. And it was a guy on a little talk show, and he had the beard, and he had the zitzits, and he's talking Torah. But he's got his own little talk show he come out with, and he had some special guests on there. And a couple of those guests, one of these guys was a professional pianist that came from the rock band years ago. I'm trying to remember the name of it, with Mick Jagger or whatever. The Rolling Stones. So he got to talk to this pianist. He'd been in the military. And so he's sharing some things that he'd seen and went through. He's turned towards God and he's looking at things. And you got another lady, she's from Europe. And she's sharing the COVID vaccinations and all her take. And everybody's sharing their take what's coming in the next year, 2023. What to expect, what to think. And so this guy, he's letting them go ahead and say their say. And all these sayings and all these talks, it's really real what's going on around the world. And it kind of starts to bring fear in you of all what they're talking about because it's reality. But at the end of the talk show, the guy says, okay, we had everybody speak. He said, but I just want to let everybody know that Yehovah is in control. Messiah is going to be coming. And he's going to take care and shield his remnant. And that brings peace to your heart when you hear that. And so he was on the right page, but he's just getting everybody's take. And then immediately I went here and started reading this, and it just kind of lets it sink in. Reality should sink in that there is a need for the word, the true word of Yehovah. It's a famine in our land right now, a big time famine. This is rare what we're getting here. It's real rare. It says, the word that Jehovah spoke concerning Babel, this is judgment on Babylon, concerning the land of the Chasdim by Jeremiahu the prophet. Declare among the nations, and let it be heard, and lift up a banner, let it be heard, and do not conceal it. Say, Babel shall be taken, Bel shall be put to shame, Merodach shall be broken, her images shall be put to shame, her idols shall be broken. For a nation shall come up against her from the north, which shall make her land waste, and none shall dwell in it. They shall flee, they shall go, both man and beast. As I'm reading this, you got to think right now, the ones who are in charge of all the world, they're in power, it looks like they all got it, we ain't never going to have nothing, we're always going to be these little bitty nobodies. But the tables are going to turn. When Yeshua returns, this is going to turn, flip completely around. It says, in those days, and at that time, declares Jehovah, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Yehuda together, weeping as they come and seek Jehovah the Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion, their faces toward it. Come, let us join ourselves to Jehovah in everlasting covenant, never to be forgotten. My people have been wandering sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them, and their adversaries have said, we are not guilty because they have sinned against Jehovah, the home of righteousness and the expectation of their fathers, Jehovah. Flee from the midst of Babel. Come out of the land of Chasdim and be as rams before a flock. For look, I'm stirring up and bringing up against Babel an assembly of great nations from the land of the north, and they shall array themselves against her. From there she shall be captured. Their arrows are like those of a mighty skilled man, not returning empty-handed. Sit here and read this stuff carefully. And Chaldea shall become plunder. All who plunder her shall satisfy themselves, declares Jehovah. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, you who plunder my inheritance, because you have grown fat like a heifer, threshing grain, and you neigh like stallions. You neigh like stallions. Your mother shall be greatly ashamed. She who bore you shall be humiliated. Look, the last of the nations, a wilderness, a dry land, a desert. Because of the wrath of Jehovah, she shall not be inhabited, but she shall be deserted, all of it. Everyone passing by Babel shall be astonished and whistle at her plagues. Set yourselves in array against Babel all around, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her, sparing her arrows, for she has sinned against Jehovah. Shout against her all around. She has given her hand. Her foundations have fallen. Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of Jehovah. Take vengeance on her, as she has done, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babel, and him who handles the sickle at harvest time. From before the sword of the oppressor, each one turns to his own people, and each one flees to his own land. Israel is scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the sovereign of Ashur devoured him, and now at last this Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, has broken his bones. Therefore thus says Jehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, see, I'm punishing the sovereign of Babel and his land, and as I have punished the sovereign of Ashur, and I shall bring back Israel to his pasture, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his being shall be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares Jehovah, the crookedness of Israel shall be searched for, but there shall be none. And the sin of Yehuda, but none shall be found, for I shall pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Go up against the land of Mithraim, against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Slay and put them under the ban, declares Jehovah, and do according to all that I have commanded you. There is a sound of battle in the land of great destruction. How the hammer of all the earth has been cut off and broken. How Babel has become a ruin among the nations. I have laid a snare for you, and you were captured, O Babel, and you yourself did not know. You have been found and also caught because you strove against Jehovah. Jehovah has opened his armory and has brought out the weapon of his displeasure, for the master Elohim of hosts has a work to do in the land of Chasdim. Come against her from every quarter, open her storehouses, pile her up as heaps of ruins. And it's pretty long. I can sit here and read it, read it, read it, read it, but I can see it's going to take a long time to get down that far. But you get down to verse 41, and it says, "See, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, many sovereigns, stir up from the ends of the earth. They shall strengthen their bow and spear. They are cruel, and they shall show no compassion. They sound like the roaring sea and ride on horses set in array, like a man for battle against you, O daughter of Babel." Babylon's going to have a lot of stuff come against it. It's going to be terrible. You don't want to be on that side. There's going to be two sides. There's not going to be no mixture. The ones that's mixed is going to be on the wrong side. It says, "And the sovereign of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands became weak. Distress has taken hold of him, pain like that of a woman in labor. See, he comes up like a lion from the yard and jungle against the enduring pasture. But in an instant, I shall make them run away from her. And who is the chosen one whom I am against her? For who is like me?" There's some questions he asks. There's some questions I was sitting there listening to. He says, "One whom I appoint against her? For who is like me? Who summons me? And who is that shepherd who stands before me? Therefore hear the counsel of Jehovah, which he has counseled concerning Babel. And his purposes, he has purpose concerning the land of Chasdim. The least of the flock shall drag them away. He shall make their pasture a waste before them. At the sound of Babel's capture, the earth shall be shaken, and the outcry shall be heard among the nations." And at the beginning of Jeremiah 51:1, it says, "Thus says Jehovah, see, I am stirring up the spirit of a destroyer against Babel, against those who dwell, my opponents." You don't want to be Jehovah's opponent. "And I shall send winnowers to Babel." What is a winnower? Wait, you remember winnowing? It says, "And shall winnow her and empty her land, for they shall be against her all around in the day of evil. Let the archer draw his bow, and let him stand ready in his armor. Do not spare her young men, put all her army under the ban. And the slain shall fall on the land, and the pierced through in her streets. And neither Israel nor Yehuda is winnowed by his Elohim." I'm going to say it again. "For neither Israel nor Yehuda is widowed by his Elohim." He's not forgotten. "Jehovah of hosts, though their land has been filled with sin against the set apart one of Israel, flee from the midst of Babel, and let each one save his life. Do not be cut off in her crookedness. For this is the time of the vengeance of Jehovah, the recompense he is repaying her. Babel was a golden cup in the hand of Jehovah, making drunk all the earth. The nations drank her wine, that is why the nations went mad. Babel shall suddenly fall and be broken. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be, she might be healed. We would have healed Babel, but she is not healed. Let us leave her and each go his own land, to his own land, for her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the clouds." And you can read it. It goes on and on and on. It's a real long reading, but it's a very good reading. So it doesn't turn out good for Babel. Go ahead and read all of this. And it all refers to going to Revelation. It all goes into Revelation. All this was written before Revelations was ever written. It was all right here. So you can read what's going to happen to Babylon. And we're in Babylon. We're surrounded by Babylon. It looks like we're outnumbered. But Jehovah has not forgotten us, those who keep his commands. I thought I'd get to reading, but it's pretty long. You have to take your time at your own time and read it. And then I wanted to look at in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. The coming day of bitter mourning. That's what this is titled. The coming day of bitter mourning. This is what the Master Yehovah showed me, and see a basket of summer fruit. Now I asked myself, I was like, okay, what is he saying? A basket of summer fruit. Well, fruit ends in the summer. And also the word for summer fruit here, when you look it up, is 87019, which is kaitz. It's harvest, it's the grain or fruit, or the dry season. It comes to an end. So when you read this, if you look up the Hebrew word for its meaning of fruit, it's the dry season. So this is what the Master of I showed me, and see a dry season. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. So now you know what he's talking about when he says a basket of summer fruit. And I said, a basket of summer fruit. And Yehovah said to me, the end has come upon the people Yisrael. No longer do I pardon them. And the songs of the heckle shall be wailing in that day, declares the Master Yehovah. Many dead bodies everywhere thrown into any place. Hush! Hear this, you who are swallowing up the needy to do away with the poor of the land. Here we are again. Babylon eating them all up and using them for their own monies, making monies off of everybody. Hear this, you who are swallowing up the needy to do away with the poor of the land, saying, when does the new moon pass so that we shall sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we trade our wheat, to make the ephah small and the shekel large, and to falsify the scales by deceit? Everything in this world is deceit, deceit, wicked, cruel, using people, abusing people. Bribery, bribery, bribery. That's all it is bribery. To buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. Yehovah sworn by the excellency of Yaakov. See why you got no stuff about Yaakov? I shall never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? And all of it shall swell like the river, and heave, and subside like the river midstream? And it shall be in that day, declares the Master Yehovah, that I shall cause the sun to go down at noon, and shall darken the earth on a day of brightness, and shall turn your festivals. What festivals? Your festivals into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head, and shall make it like mourning for an only son. For an only son, and its end like a day of bitterness. You got to pay attention to all these words. See, days are coming, declares the Master Yehovah, that I shall send a hunger. A what? A hunger in the land. Not a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of Yehovah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall diligently search, seeking the word of Yehovah, but they shall not find it. Seeking the word of Yehovah, but they shall not find it. And that day the beautiful maidens and strong young men, even the beautiful women and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those swearing by the guilt of Shamron who say, as your mighty one lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives. Beersheba is important. That's in our Torah portion. Beersheba is where there was well dug. And they shall fall and never rise again. Yeshua said, for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are hungering and thirsting for this word. And I'm telling you, as we continually feed on the word of Yehovah, and we continually put on the character, we're getting ourselves prepared. We're going to know what to do in the rest of this journey. We just got to stay on course and pay attention. So I just had to go over all those before I get. Now we'll get into our Torah portion, Genesis 46, Bereshit 46. And so, like we talked about earlier, we see in all these families would have died, and we're going to talk about without the two sons' character change. So chapter 46, Joseph brings his family to Egypt. In Genesis chapter 46, start with verse 1. And Israel set out with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and slaughterings to Elohim of his father Yitzhak. So in chapter 46, verse 1, Israel revived and ready, set out with all he had, and went to Beersheba, where Yaakov would renew the covenant made with Elohim. I was going to go through all the slides, but I'm going to go back. We're going to go ahead and just read. I want to just go ahead and read this before we can go through the slides, like we've been doing. I want to keep us on point. Remember, Brother Scott was talking about that the other day. We just keep reading through before we start reading the slides. So I apologize for that. Let me go Bereshit 46. And Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Slaughterings to the Elohim of his father Yitzhak. And Elohim spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Yaakov, Yaakov. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am the Elohim of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Mishraim, for I shall make you there into a great nation. So now, I was talking about earlier how, you know, in my life, in my walk, I've been staying to the plan by asking the Father, just going to Him in my private time, asking, Father, is this the right way to go? Is this what to do? And so right here, he's being told that Joseph is alive and he's excited, but yet he wants to make sure. He's going to talk with the Father first, just to make sure. And where did he meet? By the well, Beersheba, where his father Yitzhak. He knew where to go to do the slaughterings, and that's where he went to meet up with him. And there Yehovah meets him and tells him it's okay. And that's what he talks about. And Elohim spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Yaakov, Yaakov. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am the Elohim of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Mishraim, for I shall make you there into a great nation. I myself am going down with you to Mishraim. And I'm pretty sure this makes him feel a whole lot more secure when the Father says, I'm going with you. Just like Moshe, hey, I don't want to follow an angel. I'm not going unless you go. And Yaakov rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel brought their father Yaakov and their little ones and their wives into the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to transport them. And they took their livestock and their property which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and came into Mishraim. And Yaakov and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his sons' daughters and all his seed, he brought with him to Mishraim. And these were the names of the children of Israel, Yaakov and his sons. And so I'm going to read. Now think about this when we're reading this. When I read this, I'm thinking of the character change that Yehuda had and the character change that Joseph had. If it had not been for their change, this does not happen. But this is happening because of their character change. The father's got the provision. The children are getting stuck in a spot. And the father knew how they were going to react and respond. So he purposefully allowed that to happen to Joseph. He purposefully allowed, but it was Yehuda's decisions to make those decisions that he made. But all these people, and I think about when he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. When our character change happens, it's loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because as we're going along, They have an example to follow. They'll follow us. But if we get squirrely, like I said, and go doing other things and end up dead, they don't have nothing to look forward to unless somebody else leads them in the right direction. But here, we have all these people, and we get to end up, it's 70 families in all. 70 people are saved. It says, his sons and his sons' daughters, and all these seed he brought with him to Mishraim. And these are the names of the children of Israel. Jacob and his sons who came into Mishraim. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. Sons of Reuben was Hanak, Palu, Hestron, and Carmi. And the sons of Shimon, Yimuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yakin, Zohar, Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. The sons of Yehuda, Onan, Shelah, Peretz, Zerah. And Onan died in the land of Canaan. Remember that? The sons of Peretz were Chetron and Chamil. And the sons of Yisachar, Tola, Pua, Yov, and Shimron. Now, when I got to Yov right there, Job, it just, like playing cards, Pictionary. You open up one card, it's a bird. You open up another, remember where that card was a bird. So as you're going through this, it's kind of like that. You're remembering things. You're reading Brit Hadishah, you're reading the Torah or prophets, things like flashcards. They come to your memory and mind. You go back and like, oh, that's where that goes. That's where that puzzle piece goes. Well, I came to this name, Job, and he is a son of Issachar. I'm like, could it be that this guy could be Job? So I don't know the timelines. I don't know the dates. So when I opened it up online, that was like opening up a can of worms. I said, oh my goodness, this one believes that, that one believes this, this one was that. But when you do your studies and do your research, you can start a process of elimination because you find out Job was way before any of these were born. I said, he had to be after Adam for sure, because there's no way he could have been born before Adam. But he's after Adam, but he's before them. So that's another big story that you can dig into. So you see, it goes on and on and on. You can do a lot of research. And the sons of Zebulun, Zered, and Elon, and Yael, these were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob and Padan Aram. And you can read through all of these in great detail in your own time. I could read them tonight, but I'm going to put you to sleep. And it gets down, it says in verse 26, all these beings who went with Jacob Mishraim. Oh, and let me back up one verse. Verse 25, these were the sons of Bilhah whom Laban gave to Rachel and a daughter, and she bore these to Jacob, seven beings in all. All the beings who went with Jacob to Mishraim, who came from his body besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 beings in all. And the sons of Yosef, who were born to him in Mishraim, Ephraim and Manasseh, all the beings of his house, Yaakov went to Mishraim, were 70. So that's how we get 70 going into Egypt. And he sent Yehuda before him to Yosef to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. And Yosef made ready his chariot. I'm not paying attention to my time. How much time I got? Okay. And Yosef made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, and he appeared to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. And I just referred that to the Brit Hadishah, how a son had went and made a mistake. He found himself empty. He found himself in a famine, and he comes back to his father, and what he does? His father puts his head on his neck and he kisses him. And Yosef said to his brothers, he says, oh, and he wept on his neck a long time, a long time. I can't imagine how long he wept on his neck. It had been 20 years. And Yisrael said to Yosef, now let me die, since I have seen your face, that you are still alive. And Yosef said to his brothers and to his father's household, I'm going up to inform Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house, who are in the land of Canaan, have come to me. And the men are shepherds, that they have been men of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall be, when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? that you shall say, your servants have been men of livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, so that you dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Midianites. Man, that was pretty incredible to learn what Goshen is. And to learn what was bordering Goshen is, what is it again? On. That was On. Yeah, On. That was the name of it. On. That was pretty incredible to learn that. I'm like, so Babylon and Goshen were bordering one another. I didn't know that. And now to know that, it's pretty incredible. Every name and everything means something. Then Joseph went and spoke to Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and see, they're in the land of Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? And they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the scarcity of food is severe in the land. Now remember, we're still in a scarcity of food in the land. It's severe in the land. And now, please, let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Midian is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know of capable men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. And Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojournings are 130 years. And when he says, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not reached the days of the years of life my fathers and the days of their sojournings. When I got to that part right there, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And I thought about Jacob, and I thought about, you know, all his constant running and all the things that he had to go through. He had fear of his brother. He had a lot of things come against him. And so he was true in saying, few and evil have been the days of his years. And then not knowing what happened to his son, you know, his brothers bring back a report that his son got eaten up by a lion. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Midian, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with bread for the mouth of the little ones. Now there was no bread in all the land because the scarcity of food was very severe in the land of Midian, and all the land of Canaan became exhausted from the scarcity of food. And we're talking about, this is not just a little bit, this is everything, everywhere. Everything was in a bind. There's going to come a day where Babylon's going to be in a bind. And Joseph gathered up all the silver that was found in the land of Midian, in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the silver into Pharaoh's house. And when the silver was all spent in the land of Midian, in the land of Canaan, all the Midianites came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence, for the silver is gone. I said this to somebody the other day. Food is good when you got it and you got money for it. But if you got no food, what good does money do? You don't eat the food? You can't eat the money. How are you going to survive? You have no choice. You're going to be in a bind. The silver's gone. So Joseph said, give your livestock and I give you bread for your livestock if the silver is gone. So everything's dwindling down to where they have no choice. Survival, you do whatever it takes. You don't mind. Look, let me tell you. I had a job working for an oil field supply company making good money. When the oil field supply went down, there was no money. I was happy working with Entergy as a little guy handing tools. I was happy. That got to where my life was in a bind so bad, I was happy making 10% as a deckhand on a shrimp boat. You do what it takes to survive, to take care of you and your family. It'll dwindle down. All the high ranking, it's going to go away. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The only thing that's going to be survival is on the word of Yehovah. It's the only thing that's going to stand. No, nothing's going to be able to help you. Only the word of Yehovah. And Joseph said, give you livestock, and I give you bread for livestock if the silver is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, and for the flocks they owned, and for the herds they owned, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. And when that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, we now hire from our master that our silver is all spent. My master also the livestock we own. There has not been left any before my master but our bodies and our lands. That's it. Just our bodies and our land now. It's dwindling down. Yehovah knows what he's doing. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? But us and our land for bread, and let us and our land be servants of Pharaoh, and give us seed, and let us live and not die, and let the land not lie waste. And Joseph bought the entire land of Mishraim for Pharaoh, because every man of Mishraim sold his field, because of the scarcity of food was severe upon them, and the land came to be Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Mishraim to the other end. Only the ground of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had from what Pharaoh gave them by law, and they ate that which Pharaoh gave them by law, therefore they did not sell their ground. And Joseph said to the people, look, I bought you and your land today for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. So now he's giving them seed to plant so they'll be able to eat. But all the land now belongs to Pharaoh. And it shall be in the harvest, you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Now he's got them doing what they have to do to survive here. He got the land. Now you got to take a percent and give. It's all law. And it became, like he said, you have saved, it says, as seed for field and for your food, for those of your household and food for your little ones. And they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the eyes of our master, and we shall become Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Mishraim to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except for the ground of priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Mishraim, in the land of Goshen, and they had possessions there and were fruitful and increased exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Mishraim 17 years, so the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. I think that's the end of this Torah portion, and I'm out of time. I'm not going to be able to go through anything else. So I did the best that I could, the best that I learned, to give the food for tonight. Go home and chew on it if you haven't chewed on it, and get ready for the next Torah portion come Friday. I'm ready. I'm excited. It's going to be good. Keep feeding on this, because let me tell you something. There's going to be a time where you won't be able to feed on it. That's why the Wednesdays and the Fridays and Shabbat, it's important to get all that you can, because there's going to be a time that you won't be able to get all that you can get. Does anybody have any prayer?